Chapter 11, The Search for Baruch. Baruch owned a respectable sum of money that he had earned from the many months he had spent working in Liuzhna. He was now able to devote himself entirely to the study of Torah without any worries and was spared from the distraction of having to deal with other people. He enjoyed the brilliant shiurim of his brother-in-law Yosef Yitzchak and the Rosh Yeshiva, the Gaon Rav Paltiel. Baruch especially befriended and cherished the uneducated but sincerely God-fearing Jews who lived in Vitebsk. One of these was a fisherman who was named Avremel with the Lip because his lower lip noticeably projected outwards. Most of the residents of Vitebsk had little regard for this simple-minded fisherman. Baruch, by contrast, refused to take anyone or anything at face value. He was greatly impressed with the Yirat Shemayim of Avraham and his unusually good heart. Baruch knew the fisherman since he was a child because Avraham had been a close neighbor of his parents of blessed memory. It was true that Avraham happened to be illiterate and not very smart at all. He even found davening an incredibly difficult task. Nevertheless, he tried his best to read the words and he davened with amazing concentration and a full heart. Each morning after Shacharis, Avram would remain in Shul for a while in order to participate in a short shir on Ein Yaakov or to recite a few chapters of Tehillim. He would then make his way to the nearby river to catch fish. He would carry whatever he managed to catch to the local marketplace. If he was unable to sell his entire stock, he would take his fish inside the town of Vitebsk and sell it to his neighbors at half price. He would regularly distribute fresh fish to the poor without charging them. Baruch recalled that on the long Shabbos afternoons in the summertime, the women of the neighborhood would gather in his parents' home to hear his mother read selected teachings of Chazal on the weekly parsha from Tzena Ur Ena. Baruch's mother was blessed with a wonderful ability to explain every subject so clearly that even the simplest and most illiterate person was able to understand the material and feel inspired. Avram the fisherman would stand beneath the windowsill and listen carefully. The men passing by would notice and laugh at him. They cannot resist shouting embarrassing comments at him. The fisherman, however, took absolutely no notice of them. He was not going to give up on such a golden opportunity to study Torah. Baruch had the opportunity to witness Avraham's extreme honesty, and from that day on, he insisted on calling him Reb Avraham as a show of respect. He discovered that there were other Jews like Avraham living in Vitebsk. He made a point of getting to know them and learning from their good character traits and their simple but powerful Yiras Shemayim and Emuna in Hashem. Months flew by, and the money Baruch had saved was spent. He was forced once again to seek work in order to survive on his own without breaking his resolution not to benefit from other people's generosity. He soon found a position working as a builder. As usual, he divided his hours between his work obligations and his Torah study at one of the small shuls in Vitebsk. Baruch lived a very private life, driven by a deep desire to study Torah and serve Hashem faithfully. He had no idea that there was a Jew in Liuzhna who had never stopped thinking about him and who longed to discover where Baruch had gone. That Jew was Avraham the farmer. If you recall, Baruch worked as the watchman of Avraham's orchard and had then spent a few months studying in a small shul in Liuzhna. Baruch suddenly left Liuzhna shortly before Pesach without telling anyone where he was heading or whether he would return. As far as his friend Avram was concerned, it was almost as if the ground had opened and swallowed Baruch. Where could he have disappeared, and why had he not informed Avram that he planned to leave Liuzhna? Avram missed Baruch terribly. They had developed a close relationship while Baruch had served as his watchman, and he had then become Baruch's chavrusa during the long nights in which they studied Shulchan Aruch in depth. Avram had another reason for his interest in Baruch. Avram had a daughter named Rivka, and he often considered that Baruch would make a wonderful husband for her. Rivka was an exceptionally pleasant and graceful young lady, outstanding in her years Shemayim and love for Torah. To Reb Avram, at least, Rivka and Baruch seemed a perfect match. Try as he might, he could not understand why Baruch departed from Liuzhna without warning. He could think of no reason for the young scholar's sudden departure. Could Baruch have possibly sensed that Avram was hoping to offer his daughter to Baruch as a wife? Perhaps Baruch was not interested, and in order to avoid any embarrassment, he preferred to relocate to another town. Avram had barely any information on Baruch's background. He had heard him mention a number of times that he was raised in the town of Vitebsk. Perhaps Baruch had now returned to his hometown? Avram set out for Vitebsk and searched throughout the town for Baruch. He asked many local residents for help, but for one reason or another, it seemed impossible to figure out which of the many local young men Avram was seeking. Eventually, Avram gave up. Avram then decided to travel to his teacher in Yeshkenovich. He felt that the Gaon Reb Avram Zev would surely be able to advise him. Not only was the great sage Avram's former Rosh Yeshiva, but he had remained Avram's spiritual advisor ever since. Avram told his teacher about the exceptional young man who said that he had been born in Vitebsk and who had come to find work in Liezhna and had disappeared shortly before Pesach. "Should I continue searching for Baruch in order to offer my daughter to him as a wife?" he asked the Gaon. "Or should I give up on him and find another suitable young man for my daughter?" Rabbi Avraham Zev sat silently lost in his thoughts for a long time. Eventually, he raised his head and announced, "No, do not give up. Continue looking for him." Well, Avram did as his teacher advised him, but it was truly an impossible search. Baruch could be in any of the hundreds of towns and villages in the area, or even traveling along some quiet country road. Baruch was a quiet boy who avoided discussion and was happy to live his own private life in some hidden corner of a rundown shul. How could Avram possibly hope to find him? One day, Avram happened to visit Vitebsk on some other matter. While he was there, he decided to meet the young Magid Shir in the local yeshiva. He had heard about Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak's fascinating shiurim. As the two of them discussed various topics, Avram happened to mention that he was searching for a certain young man who was born in Vitebsk but had worked for many months in Liezhna. "Why, you must be referring to my brother-in-law Baruch," Yosef Yitzchak exclaimed in surprise. Avram felt his heart pounding with excitement. "Do you know where he is? I have been looking for him for ages." Instead of replying, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak simply took Avram by the hand and led him to one of the small shuls in Vitebsk. He pointed to one of the far corners of the room and announced, "There he is," but he does not appreciate being interrupted while he is busy learning. Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak then turned around and hurried back to his yeshiva. Rabbi Avram felt himself trembling as he approached Baruch, who was deeply engrossed in a sefer and had not noticed him enter. He stood there in silence until Baruch raised his head and their eyes met. Baruch sprang to his feet in excitement and respect. "Rabbi Avram," he cried out in delight. The two of them hugged each other emotionally. Rabbi Avram decided not to revisit the past, but to immediately deal with the future. He described his daughter Rivka and proposed her as a shidduch to Baruch. Baruch seemed embarrassed, and Avram wondered whether he could have approached the topic with a little more sensitivity. By diving into the deep end, he may have lost a golden opportunity. Baruch finally nodded his consent. "I agree," he replied, "but there are a few conditions."